Hey kids, Carl Rove. The big question is, who told Carl Rove? How did Rove get the info that Plame was a covert agent? Someone with top-level security clearance to not only have that kind of info, but someone who, when pissed off by what Wilson said about the Niger Yellowcake, went out of their way to find some dirt on Wilson and get the goods on his wife. Who would casually know anything about a covert CIA agent other than someone who worked with her? Would someone at the CIA who had that kind of knowledge really be so stupid to out a fellow agent, putting her and who knows how many others into danger, even if he was a crazy right-wing nutjob? Someone at the agency would be well aware what kind of crime it is to out a covert agent. Who could be that petty? I doubt it's someone at the CIA. And who would have the muscle to not only go after that info, but not only not be denied that info, but not be questioned about asking for it? That bears some thought. Whoever it is also needs to be in prison. Oh yeah, Rove should be fired, then sent to prison and be somebody's bitch. So what if he didn't use her name? If I say, President Bush's wife has brown hair, you know I'm talking about Laura. Or you could look it up. That excuse wouldn't fly with a three-year-old. But how did Rove get the info? Someone must have told him, but who? Because whoever gave Rove that info is also guilty. But we're in Bush wacko world where Martha Stewart can go to prison for lying about a crime that was never committed. The other question is, when the hell is Novak going to prison? But on to a more fun subject, the Tour de Lance. Woo! Today was the first day in the Alps, and Lance and Team Discovery tore the mountain up. After Team CSC, who had the maillot jaune for one day, refused to do any work at the front of the peloton, Discovery took the reins, setting a blistering pace up two Category 1 climbs, which are extremely long and steep, dropping most of Team CSC along the way. Ha ha! Only three other riders could keep up with Lance at the end of the climb up the Courchevel, and not a single member of CSC. Oh sure, Bassa was behind by, what, a minute or two, but still. Alejandro Valverde, who was riding his first Tour de France, took the stage at the end with Lance on his wheel. Lance is back in the yellow jersey, and most likely may stay in it for the rest of the tour. If he does give it up at all, it will be only to the King of the Mountains leader, Mikkel Rasmussen, who is behind by only 38 seconds, but cannot match Lance on the individual time trial on stage 20, which is a week from Saturday. He has over 2.5 minutes on the rest of the GC, and this is only the first day in the Alps. We still got the Pyrenees to come at the end of the week. Tomorrow gets even harder with a more brutal stage with one Category 1 climb and two beyond category climbs. Woohoo! Tomorrow's coverage starts at 3:30 a.m. for me and will be broadcast on the Jumbotron in Times Square starting at 9 a.m. I can't wait! Crack TV for Tally. Go Lance! I'm Tally, and this has been La Prospective Bomb.
You know, it's possible that some people are tired of hearing me beat up the Democrats. Matter of fact, let's take a little survey. How many people tired of hearing me beat up the Democrats? Raise your... Oh, Christ, that many. Okay, so I won't beat them up this time. I'll just offer some constructive criticism. How's that? I'm riding around in the Bartmobile today, and I'm listening to some Air America radio. And I hear him talk to Bill Richardson about what a bad, bad person Howard Dean is. Now, I know we touched on this on the page, but we didn't get to what I would do if I was Bill Richardson or any Democrat who has asked a stupid question. Bill Richardson came up with one of the worst answers I've heard this year, and it's only because Kerry's not saying a lot. But they came up to Bill Richardson. Something else. Bill Richardson is not the new guy on the block. He was, I believe, a former representative of New Mexico. Then he was in the Clinton cabinet. He was secretary of something. And then after that, he was a U.N. ambassador. And then I think now he's governor of New Mexico. So he's not a new guy on the block. So what the hell is wrong with Bill Richardson's brain? And I used to like Bill when he was with the Clinton administration. He seemed like a straight shooter. But then he had all those troubles with his New Mexico, the atomic stuff and all that. All right, so here's what happened. They went up to Bill Richardson and said, "Isn't that terrible what Howard Dean said, and do you agree with him?" Now, if I was Bill Richardson, and I had a brain, and so far those two are mutually exclusive, I would have... Okay, here's the reporter. "Excuse me, Mr. Richardson, can you tell me your opinion of what Howard Dean said about the Republicans being mostly a white Christian party? Could you repeat the question, please?" Now, what that does, when you ask the guy to repeat the question, it's not that I need more time to think. You ask the guy to repeat the question because someone who's barely listening, all of a sudden that's going to grab their attention a little more. If somebody's working or they're doing something and they hear, "Can you repeat that question?" they're going to stop and they're going to listen because they're going to think something's up. So the guy says, "Can you tell me your opinion of what Howard Dean said about the Republicans being a party of mostly white Christians?" And I would say, "Well, first of all, I like Howard Dean. He's a good guy. And what's amazing to me is the big story of the day is the fact that Howard Dean mentioned the fact that the Republicans were mostly white and Christian. What boggles me is that the subject of the day is not that we've got 2,000 men dying in the sands of Iraq for no damn reason. Why is that not the topic of the day? The Republicans don't want to talk about the facts. They don't want to talk about the crippling situation that's touching thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of American lives, destroying families, destroying relationships, destroying the lives of so many young people, the $1 billion a day we're spending over there, the horrible hit our reputation has took. Right now, more people trust bin Laden worldwide, more people trust bin Laden than trust George Bush. And this is the mess we got into. And you, the American press, want to know about Dean mentioning the fact that the Republicans are mostly white and Christian. Now, why the hell is that the topic of the day instead of something important? Would you tell me that, sonny boy? Now, see, that's how Bill Richardson could have answered that question. But no, what did he say? "I agree with you, Mr. Reporter. Howard Dean's a crazy man. He's one of those crazy Democrats that I have to get away from. That's why I think the Republicans have it all right. I wish I was a Republican instead of one of these crazy Democrats that go spouting off about the Republicans being white and Christian, even though that's true. Instead of me calling a silly damn question and redirecting the conversation back towards something important, I'm going to take this opportunity to beat up the head of the DNC because I'm a Democrat and I'm stupid and I can't figure out how to fight even though I've been in politics for 30 damn years." Now see, what's wrong with Bill Richardson? What is wrong with the Democrats? It is so easy. And even if there wasn't a war going on, even if what Howard Dean said was the topic of the day, and everybody agreed that was the most important thing. You know what Bill Richardson could have said? He could have said, Howard, I'll tell you what. Howard is a good guy. He's doing an impossible job. He's fighting the press. He's fighting Fox News. He's fighting all of talk radio. He's fighting, and yes, occasionally he might choose different words than I choose, but he is a good guy. But no. You can't stick up for a Democrat if you're a Democrat. If you're a Democrat, you have to agree with the press and the Republican that the Democrats are weirdo people that you can't trust with your vote or your money. No wonder the Republicans have a monopoly. The Democrats are begging you to vote for the other party. The Democrats can't decide which of the two parties is better for America. What is wrong with the Democrats? It's so easy. And it's not that I've been in politics 9 years now and I'm getting the hang of it. No, I could have told you this when I was 9 years old. How come Bill Richardson is not as smart as a 9-year-old? Why can't Bill Richardson play for the team he plays for? It's like Bill Richardson is on our football team and he's the center. And as soon as he hikes the ball, he turns around and tackles the quarterback for an 8-yard loss. Why'd you do that, Bill? Why don't you play for our team? You got a blue jersey on, Bill. So why are you tackling the blue quarterback? Why the hell don't you go after someone with a red jersey on, Bill? What are you, stupid? And I'm telling you, this is all so easy and simple. What Bill Richardson did was just give a lot of ammunition to the enemy. And there was no reason to. A, he could have shut his damn mouth and not had an opinion. That would have been a whole lot better than what he did. B, if he chose to open his mouth, he could have said something helpful. He could have done something to advance his side. He could have done something to add points to his side of the scoreboard. But no, he rejects A, he rejects B, and he goes right to C. The Republicans are right. Dean is crazy. Don't vote for Dean. Don't vote for Democrats. Stay away from our side because our side is crazy. Thank you. I'm Bill Richardson. Good night. And that's what we got to live with because we're Democrats. What is wrong with the Democratic Party? Should I move to Washington, D.C.? Should I open up a lobbying, a little, get me a little shop on K Street and sit there and answer the phone? Hi, Bill Richardson. Yeah, this is Bart. What can I do for you? No, idiot. You don't answer it like that. You answer it like this. And then I give them a couple of reasonable replies to the stupid reporter's question. But no, they don't want to learn. They don't want to win. They want to continually help Bush. They want to help the Republicans. They want to do anything except help themselves, help the little guy, help the minority, help the poor, help the people that need help. What is wrong with the Democrats?
I was going to go to class. But then I got high. Daddy got me into Yale to pass. But then I got high. Now every word I say is messed up. And I know why. Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high.
Please be seated.
I had to go to Vietnam. But then I got high. I tried to hide out in Alabama. But then I got high. I was way too scared to fight. So I had to lie. Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. After 9-1-1, I was king. But then I got high. I had to catch that Osama ding-a-ling. But then I got high. Instead, I attacked Iraq. And no one knew why. Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. Now we've got a big deficit. Because I got high. Even Republicans are throwing a fit. Because I got high. Now the whole country is messed up. And we all know why. Because I got high. Because I got high. Because I got high. Any questions?
Yes, yeah. Mr. President, what about health care, Iran, and Social Security? What do you plan to do?
Hold on, let me think about it. You know, I say we get them homos instead.
It's a shame, isn't it, about poor little George? It's just a damn shame, really.
Please be seated.
They are sitting, sir.
You please be seated.
We're sitting, sir.
We're ready. Be seated.
We're sitting.
You please be seated.
Sir, we're sitting.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Sir, this is my ass. It's on a chair. It's called sitting.
Please be seated.
We're sitting, sir.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Oh. Still in the news section of the Friday USA Today. Small headline, BTK killer blames demon for murders. Now, to me, that makes a lot of sense. I'm sure some Law and Order types are going to say, oh, please, the demons. Well, something drove this man to murder a bunch of people. They mention here how sometimes he would be a little kind. He would tie up a victim, and before he killed him, the victim would say, my neck hurts, and he would go over and move the rope a little bit around their neck to where it wouldn't hurt as much, and then he'd kill them. So somewhere deep in this man's mind, there is some humanity, but he says the demons took him over when he was a kid, which I guess I'd have to buy. You know, that lady in Houston had drowned her kids, and they said, oh, she's not crazy, she's evil. Well, no, when you drown five children, your own five children, you are crazy. I don't care, you can call it whatever you want, but the lady's just not right. And whatever problem she suffered from, they made her do this horrible thing to her kids, just like this crazy BTK guy. He says in this little article, I have a lot of remorse. I'm very sorry for my victims. He said he didn't mean to so dispassionately describe the murders. He says he was not prepared for that question. And when I asked him, did you murder this guy? How'd you do it? Why'd you do it? And all that, he said, didn't want to become emotional, so he got through it as quickly as he could, and that explained his flat delivery of why he did what he did. But, you know, I think one of the most interesting questions here, I mean, we know why, because the guy's crazy. But the question I'm curious about is, why did he come back? We drove through Wichita, 4 or 5 years ago, and they just mentioned it. Oh, it was like it was the 20th anniversary since his first kill or something, and he just had disappeared. They said, they were wondering on the radio, did he die? Did he get caught with some other, you know, doing some other crime, and he's in prison and can't kill while he's in prison? The guy, the way I remember it, he killed for 3-4 years or something, and then he disappeared for 16 or 18, 20 years. And then, out of the blue, he comes back, starts sending these taunting letters to the newspapers and all, and that's how they caught him. They traced one of the letters to the church copier. I don't know how they did it, but they got their ways. And so they asked the priest or rector or the preacher who's got access to the printer, and they said, well, yeah, the BTK guy does. So that's how they ended up arresting the guy. And funny, I think this is the case. They got his DNA from his daughter or someone. They had some suspicion. You know, maybe there was 10 guys they were looking at. So they didn't want to ask him for some DNA, but they got some DNA from a relative, and they said, hey, you got some of the BTK DNA in you, so it's got to be a member of your family. And that's how they got to looking at him, and then they caught him with this church. But of all the things they asked him, I don't think they asked him, why did you come back? You had done these horrible things. You were free and clear. The idiot cops didn't have a clue in 10,000 what to do, how to look for you, who you might be. They just were absolutely, totally stymied, to give Clarence Thomas a plug. And then the guy comes back with more clues. And it's going to end up costing him the rest of his life. They didn't have the death penalty when he committed the crime, so he's not going to be executed. So don't you think that'd be an interesting question? Why did you come back and taunt the police? Was it his good side battling the bad side? The good side wanted to be caught. The good side wanted to be punished. The good side didn't want his bad side to be unaccountable for his crimes. Or did he just have an ego problem? He just wanted to see his name in the paper. He wasn't instilling enough fear in enough people, so he had to come back to that degree. But interesting. Nobody asked him that. This ad was in the news section, but it's really more of a financial matter. GM had their greatest quarter, I think, since almost 20 years, 18 years, I think. First or second quarter that GM had, when they did their buy our cars at the employee discount rate, that was their best quarter, I think, in 18 years. I think it was 87 was the last time they sold this many cars in 90 days. And are people that stupid? I mean, the price of the car is the price of the car. If you got a $20,000 car and you're going to sell it for $17,000, well, $17,000 is what you're paying for the car. But if you got a $20,000 car and you say, I'll let you have it at employee discount, and now you can have it for $17,000 and people line up to buy it, that is just stupidity. People are going to buy a car and get on the hook for a $20,000 or $17,000 nut, and they're going to do that because someone used the words employee discount. The price didn't bring them in. The phrase employee discount brought them in. That makes no sense. But is this more further proof that people are super stupid? I like to think that people are going to buy a car, A, because they need one, and B, they like that car at that price. But buying a car because they put a phrase on a sale, that is the height of insanity. And it would be nice if people weren't that stupid, but I have a feeling they are.
Mark Cobb. You could have his Chinaco when you buy it from his cold, dead hands.
Mr. Chairman, the long war on Christianity in America continues today on the floor of the United States House of Representatives.
Yes, the long war on Christianity. I pray that one day we may live in an America where Christians can worship freely. In broad daylight, openly wearing the symbols of their religion, perhaps around their necks. And maybe, dare I dream it, maybe one day there could even be an openly Christian president. Or perhaps perhaps 43 of them consecutively. Congress is tackling the issues most important to U.S. citizenry. Yesterday, the House of Representatives voted 286 to 130 in favor of a constitutional amendment to ban the burning of the American flag, thus taking care of the Iraqi insurgency. Now, some have argued that flag burning, while perhaps a dickish, petulant, empty gesture, does happen to fall under the category of free speech. Unless the bill's sponsor, Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham, himself currently under investigation for financial improprieties with defense contractors, has a more cogent constitutional argument.
Some claim that it impinges on the First Amendment. It does not.
All right. You know, why do we even have a Supreme Court? This guy's like a million times faster. Cunningham, abortion, go. Clearly, arguments for the ban are somewhat flimsy. Is there any imagery supporters could co-opt that maybe evokes an almost irrational emotional response that would make a reasoned argument moot?
Ask the police and fire that stood on top of the Trade Center and ask them, and they will tell you, help pass this amendment today.
Will they? Did you ask them? My guess is you didn't ask them, dude. Because if you did, I bet first they'd go, hey, why'd you revoke the $125 million in health benefits you promised, you prick? I have been reading a lot of reports concerning things you've said, and I have a question. Are you a crazy person?
I thought I might be until I saw that last interview, and then I decided, as long as I haven't given $5,000 to the Republican Party, I'm definitely not yet crazy.
You know, the Democrats have been criticized for not having a spine, for rolling over. Then you came in, and now they're being criticized for, hey, geez, look at that spine. That's a lot of spine. Is it difficult to find that balance? You feel like sometimes it's you step over it, you don't, you're behind the line. What's your concern?
People want somebody who's going to stand up to the Republicans and stop letting them push us around.
And this is, you're a guy that has a reputation of authenticity. You're a guy that's worked as an elected official, as the governor of Vermont. Is that a tough role for you to be in?
It's not tough because these people have taken our country away from us. They talk about morals, but they don't do anything to help the poor. Last time I saw that helping the poor was something that was mentioned 3,000 times in the Bible. I have yet to find a reference to gay marriage in the Bible. These people are obsessed with things that are not about basic core American values, and I'm sick of it, and so is a lot of other people, and I'm happy to stand up for them.
Let's see, 25 years ago today, do you have any idea what happened 25 years ago?
I do. Tell me, though.
Take a guess. 25 years ago today, was the premiere of the David Letterman show.
That was the morning. The morning show. 25 years ago.
And by all accounts, it was a cataclysmic disaster.
Power of language. President Clinton earned the scorn of Republicans for his habit of splitting hairs when it came to the truth, of using deceptive rhetoric while never technically lying. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Depends on what your definition of is. Well, the Bush administration is different. They were elected to restore honor and credibility to the Oval Office. They're straight shooters. They tell it like it is. Take Vice President Cheney's recent remarks on Iraq.
I think the level of activity that we see today from a military standpoint, I think, will clearly decline. I think they're in the last throes, if you will, of the insurgency.
The last throes of the insurgency, an idiom suggesting a last gasp, a denouement. Cut, print, roll credits on the insurgency. The vice president is saying very clearly, this is the end. Unfortunately, as violence continues to escalate in Iraq, General John Abizaid had this to say.
In terms of the overall strength of the insurgency, I'd say it's about the same as it was.
right now we're living in an age where it's 24/7 news coverage. We've talked a lot about this. They're being inundated every day with images that are negative. 24/7 news coverage of car bombs, and that is tends to leave a certain impression.
That is, I can't agree more. You know, you never hear about the cars that don't blow up.
It is now time to proudly present another edition of our ongoing series, Great Moments in Punditry as Read by Children.
Welcome to Scarborough Country.
Pat, 70 to 80% of Americans are looking at the Terri Schiavo case. They're turning to their husband and wife and they're asking, if I am ever in the situation, don't you dare! I think I would like to be allowed to die with dignity.
Do you think this is with dignity?
Yes.
You know how she is dying? The way they died at...
How do you pronounce that again?
Dachau? And the way they died in Andersonville?
That is an outrageous, outrageous statement.
It is not. They were starved to death and denied water.
It is outrageous of you to say that.
Why do you want her dead so badly, Peter?
And to compare it to the Nazis when this woman...
Pat, how dare you?
Vice President Dick Cheney recently said the insurgency is in its last throes. The question is, do you agree?
Adam, I think about Iraq every day. Every single day.
Really? You think about the war you started every day. But what are your plans for Iraq looking ahead?
Adam, I think about Iraq every day. Every single day. And so, you know, I think about this every day. Every single day. And we'll continue thinking about it.
In which a British reporter asked about the Downing Street memo, the minutes of a July 2002 meeting between Blair and his top aides. At that meeting, well, I'll just let the reporter say.
On Iraq, the so-called Downing Street memo from July 2002 says intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy of removing Saddam through military action. Is this an accurate reflection of what happened? Could both of you respond?
Yes, both of you respond.
No, the facts were not being fixed.
There's nothing farther from the truth.
Let me remind you that that memorandum happened before we then went to the United Nations.
I went to the United Nations
to give a final chance to Saddam Hussein to comply.
And he ignored the world.
And that was the reason why we had to take
military into combat.
I don't think it gets any better than this. Tom Cruise will be joining us. This is a kind of guy you want. He's a fine actor, an action-adventure kind of guy, on and off the big screen.
Yeah.
And he attracts attention wherever he goes, and he leads an exciting life, and he's now engaged to the lovely, although, you know, I spoke to him backstage, and he said the engagement is off.
Get out. Get out. Really?
Yes.
He's come to announce that it's over?
Yes. He pissed her off somehow.
Really?
Yes. And so she took a hike. Anyway, he will be here, and he's deeply in love with this lovely woman. Yeah. I'm not aware that he's aware that I dated her at one point.
Did you date? You dated Katie Holmes?
You knew that.
Really? I didn't know. When was that?
Oh, come on. Don't play dumb.
When she was doing a Dawson's...
Yes, that's right.
When you used to fly in and see her?
I would go down to see her when she was
Baltimore,
on the
Baltimore, wherever they did
wherever
that show.
Wherever the hell, who knows.
Flew in and out.
New Zealand, I don't know where they did.
Flew in to see her. Wow.
Anyway.
Oh, he's going to be mad.
You are listening to Mark Kopp Radio at markkopp.com.
Well, there you had it. Another fun-filled couple hours with old Bart. And you know, these shows are funny because sometimes we have prepared bits prepared as in I have an idea to do them, and then I press go, and whatever comes out is what we have to live with because there just ain't no time. And then there are shows like this show where we basically started it Friday morning and we finished it Monday at noon without touching it on the weekend. So this is pretty much a semi-live show. Maybe you like the prepared shows a little more. Maybe you like the off-the-cuff shows a little more. I just don't know. Do you know, on the last show, I got three pieces of feedback. And there was over a dozen people who heard. And like I said, I'm not looking for the praise, but I got to have some feedback because I don't know what's working, what ain't working. So, with that in mind, thank you for listening to the Bart Cop Radio. Thank you for supporting the page. Thank you for the subscribers, especially you are the guys who enable me to not be Bart the Lonely Loner Ranger at the car lot. So, appreciate that. Appreciate also those of you who send the occasional check in the mail, because Uncle Sam considers that mine. The subscribers belong to Caesar. So, thank you for that. Thank you for the support. We're going to head to Chicago. We're going to play a little poker. Hopefully, I won't win. They'll be screaming fix if I win, so I've got to lose. You know how hard it is for me to lose at poker? Okay, so we're going to Chicago this weekend. The minute I get back, we'll start working on show 79, trying to make them better, trying to make them worth your dollar. This is Bart. I am out of here.